I'm Francie Rosner. I'll be talking about securing embedded user interfaces, particularly from the perspective of Android. So let me set the stage by describing what I mean by embedded user interfaces and giving you some examples of how they can be useful. So in particular, an embedded third-party user interface is a portion of an application or a web page's UI that it has delegated to another entity. So for example, here, the article on this web page has delegated a portion of its UI to the Facebook like button, the Twitter tweet button, and so on. Another common example on the web is an embedded map. So here, this web page has included a Google map to show the location of its business. And on the web, this type of UI embedding is generally done using iframes. So the parent page includes an iframe tag in its HTML and specifies the URL of the third-party content that it wishes to embed. But third-party embedded user interfaces are also common on mobile devices, like on Android. So here's an example of the Pandora Android application, which is including a third-party embedded advertisement. Android doesn't have anything like iframes. Instead, the way that UI embedding is done there is by directly including third-party library code in the parent application. So here, Pandora has included a third-party ad library running in its own execution context. So these embedded interfaces enable a variety of scenarios, but in practice they come with security implications, and that'll be the focus of this talk. So if you're familiar with web security, you probably know that browsers provide fairly good isolation between the content embedded in an iframe and the parent page. That's not true for UI embedding on Android, however. Like I mentioned, third-party libraries like the ad library in Pandora are running in the application's own execution context. And more fundamentally, Android doesn't truly support cross-application UI embedding. So this model will lead to a number of security vulnerabilities. Before I go into more detail about the types of security concerns that we're considering, let me give you a quick outline of the rest of the talk. So first, I'll be describing some of these security concerns that arise in the context of embedded user interfaces, and I'll motivate again why we're considering Android in particular in this work. I'll then talk about the design and implementation of Layercake, which is our modified version of Android that securely supports cross-application embedded user interfaces. I'll evaluate Layercake using a number of functionality case studies and some performance measurements. And finally, I'll leave you with some lessons that we learned for secure embedded UIs. So let's start with UI security considerations on Android. So embedded user interfaces present security concerns both for the embedded content and for the parent page or application. So on this slide, I've shown an example of a hypothetical Android application that has two UI elements, the blue parent, which is embedding the green child. And this is also a good time to introduce some of the terminology that I'll be using throughout the rest of the talk. So logically, these UI elements can be arranged in a UI layout tree, like I've shown on the slide. So the child, which is embedded inside the parent, is a child node of the parent node in the tree. And again, we're concerned with both potentially malicious children and potentially malicious parents. So let me give you some concrete examples. So first, considering the case of a malicious child, here I have another hypothetical Android application that includes an ad, a map, and a Facebook like button. And I've shown a simplified UI layout tree for this application. Now recall that in Android, ad libraries run in the process of the application that's including them. So here's something that a malicious ad library could do. First, it can traverse the UI layout tree to get to the root. From there, it can delete all of the application's UI elements and replace them with a disruptive full screen advertisement. And the underlying reason for this vulnerability is that all code that's running in the same context here can access all of the UI elements. So in particular, the included ad library can manipulate the parent's UI elements however it wishes. So let's consider the opposite case of a malicious parent. So in this example, the Android application has embedded a web view, which is a type of Android UI element that allows developers to embed HTML content or load a web page. So in this case, it's loaded a Google login page. Because the web view is not really isolated from the parent application, there are a number of security vulnerabilities that can arise. One of those is eavesdropping on or blocking user input. So for example, when the user goes to enter their password into this login box, under the hood, the key events are propagating down the UI layout tree. So it's the responsibility of each node in the tree to further propagate the input until it reaches the right target. And so because on the path down this layout tree, there may be some untrusted nodes. Those untrusted nodes can eavesdrop on, modify, or even block the input that's directed at the child element. So there are many other potential vulnerabilities that can occur between malicious children and malicious parents. I encourage you to look at our paper for more details about these types of concerns. I'll be touching on a few of them in more detail as I describe our design and implementation. So as I alluded to earlier, the reason that I've used Android in all of my examples is that many of these attacks are actually not possible on the web, because the web provides fairly good isolation between the content in an iframe and in the parent page. However, almost all of these attacks are possible on Android today. And again, the fundamental reason for this is that Android doesn't truly support cross-application UI embedding. There's some existing Android-based approaches like AdDroid and AdSplit, which have considered some of these problems, but they've particularly focused on the advertising scenario. And so these solutions don't quite address all of the concerns that we have, and so they're not really suitable for general-purpose UI embedding. In our own past work, we've considered security concerns in embedded UIs from a more theoretical standpoint. So the goal of the work that I'm talking about today is really to understand in practice what it takes to implement secure third-party embedding on Android. So in the next part of the talk, I'll be describing Layercake. Layercake is our modified version of Android that securely supports cross-application embedding. So on this slide, I've shown a screenshot of an application running on Layercake. This application embeds an ad at the top of its UI. And unlike in stock Android, this ad is entirely running in its own application. Similarly, it includes a map view that's running in another application. And that map view further embeds the special location gadget. And I'll get back to the benefits we get from that later in the talk. Before I go into more detail about the design and implementation of Layercake, just a little bit of Android background to get us all on the same page. So first of all, an application's UI consists of one or more activities. An activity is essentially a page of an application's UI. So for example, this screenshot shows the standard Android calculator application. This is its main activity. And an assumption that's fundamentally baked into Android is that only one activity is running and in the foreground at a time. So as the user is navigating through different pages in an application, they're probably switching between different activities. And each of these activities then contains one of these UI layout trees. In Android terminology, the UI elements are called views. So for example, this 5 button is a view of type button. And under the hood, each activity is contained inside of a window. And the window is essentially the drawing surface for the application's user interface. And so each window is associated with exactly one UI layout tree. In Layercake, our goal was to truly support embedded activities. That is to allow an activity in one application to securely embed an activity in another application. So in this example, as shown on this slide, the parent activity in blue is running in one application, and the ad activity is running in another application. Again, this is very different from stock Android, where the ad activity would be an embedded UI provided by an ad library. So I'll describe our design and implementation of this functionality in three main steps. The first is to separate out the embedded UI into its own process, into its own application. We then also need to separate the UI layout trees of the embedded content and the parent content, so we'll put them in separate windows. And the basic embedding functionality that that will give us still won't address all of the security concerns that we have in some of the examples I gave. So I'll describe how we handle some of these additional security concerns. So overall, these changes required about 2,500 additions or modifications to about 50 files in Android 4.2. And in particular, they required some fundamental changes to assumptions baked into the Android Activity Manager and the Android Window Manager. And I'll highlight some of those as I go along. So the first step in supporting cross-application embedding is to separate out the embedded content into its own process. So conceptually, we want to allow developers to embed activities from other applications into their activities. And metaphorically, you can think of this as iframes for Android. So achieving this separation required a number of changes to Android. I'll highlight some of them briefly, and you can read more implementation details in the paper. So first, we needed to expose a developer API to allow developers to actually embed third-party activities. So we introduced a new Android UI element called an embedded activity view. Again, this is basically like an iframe. And it lets the parent activity specify the layout parameters and the identity of the third-party activity that they wish to embed. So this required changing an underlying assumption in the Android Activity Manager that only one activity is active at a time. So in this example, we now need both the parent activity and the add activity to be running and in the foreground at the same time. And more than that, we need the life cycles of these activities to be linked. So for example, if the parent activity is paused, the add activity needs to be paused as well. Layercake also provides communication between parent and child activities. You can imagine how this might be useful. So for example, the parent activity might want to load the add activity with specific add keywords. And so Layercake can support this type of cross-principle communication. Again, more details are in the paper. At a high level, the point I want to make here is that separating out the embedded content into its own process prevents direct UI manipulation. So essentially, the parent activity can no longer directly manipulate the UI elements of the child activity and vice versa. This process separation also, of course, has other security benefits. So for example, the add activity running in its own process can no longer abuse the permissions that the user granted to the parent application. Now, it turns out that separating the embedded content out into another process is not sufficient for UI-level security. And in particular, we need to be careful about how we actually combine the UI elements from these two applications. So naively, Layercake might literally combine their layout trees. So that's what I've shown in this slide. The add activities UI elements are literally nested in the same layout tree as the parent application. And so you may notice that this doesn't actually look any different from what we already have in Android today. And in particular, user input still propagates down this combined tree. So any untrusted nodes on the path down the tree can eavesdrop on or block input that's intended for a child element. So in practice, we need to separate these UI layout trees as well. So the key to Layercake's activity embedding mechanism is that it doesn't literally nest these UI trees together. And instead, it separates the UI tree of the embedded activity out into its own window, just as if the embedded activity were a standalone activity. This then required modifying the window manager to keep track of parent-child relationships between these windows, and then visually overlaying child windows on top of parent windows in the right location and with the right size. So in other words, we achieved the same visual effect as though the UI layout trees were combined, but by keeping the trees separate, we can prevent these types of input eavesdropping and denial of service attacks that I mentioned. We encountered a couple of practical challenges in implementing this overlay idea in a real end-to-end system. I'll mention these briefly. So one challenge was that we found layout changes needed to be automatically propagated across processes. So for example, when the user clicks on a text box, that will open a software keyboard. And that software keyboard will cause the current activity in the current activities window to pan upward to make room for that keyboard. And so we found that we needed to propagate any layout changes like that that happened to the parent activity to any of the child activities so that they move appropriately relative to the parent activity. And of course, we don't want developers to have to manually deal with these kinds of layout changes. Another challenge is related to multiple nesting. So here in this example, we have activity A embedding activity B, which embeds activity C. And again, in Layercake, the way that this is done under the hood is that these three windows are just stacked on top of each other. So what this means is that if activity B scrolls activity C so that it's only partly visible inside of its window, Layercake needs to crop activity C, because activity C is not actually inside of activity B's window, but just overlaid visually on top of it. So I've described some of the basics needed to get cross-application embedded UIs working on Android, but we haven't actually addressed all of our security concerns. So for example, what if the parent activity makes the child activity too small? To give you a practical example of that type of attack, if an application in Android wants to programmatically take a photo, it's required to show a camera preview to the user. But a malicious application can make that camera preview so small that the user can't actually see it and then still take photos without the user's knowledge. There are a couple of ways that we could have dealt with this in Layercake. For example, we could have enforced a minimum size required by a child activity. But that's tricky because then we need to trust that the child activity doesn't try to maliciously take over the entire screen. So in practice, we observed that enforcing a minimum size requirement actually provides no additional security on its own. And the reason for that is that an attacker can mimic the effect of size manipulation by scrolling or by obstructing the window. So, for example, the parent activity might scroll the camera preview almost entirely out of view or obstruct it with an opaque window. So in practice, these things need to be considered together. And for example, we consider them together in preventing clickjacking. The threat is that a malicious parent application will manipulate or trick the user into interacting with a sensitive child element by visually obscuring that child element in some way. So to prevent clickjacking, Layercake allows embedded activities to request that they not receive user input if any of these types of clickjacking conditions are met. So if the child activity is fully or partly covered by another window, if it's not the minimum requested size, or if it's not fully visible due to window placement, like it's been scrolled out of view. I'll note that there are also additional approaches to clickjacking protection that other researchers have explored and that could and perhaps should be integrated into Layercake. The high-level point is that the UI-level security properties provided by Layercake allow the system to provide this type of support for clickjacking prevention. Finally, we considered the problem of ancestor redirection. So here the threat is that a malicious child activity tries to open a new top-level activity without the user's consent, thereby taking over the entire display. I'll note that it's okay if an embedded activity tries to open another embedded activity in its own window, so essentially delegates its own window to another activity. So we do allow embedded activities to do that. The concern is if an embedded activity tries to open a new top-level activity to take over the display. And so we experimented with a couple of approaches here. One is to simply prompt the user and allow the user to cancel the opening of the new top-level activity. Of course, we know in practice that prompting users is not a great way to ask them for permission. So we also experimented with a solution in which we assume that if the user has interacted with the embedded activity, they allow it to do certain things, such as opening a top-level activity. For example, if they click on an ad, they probably expect that the ad target will open in a new browser window. And I'll describe a little bit more later how we can actually achieve this using Layercake. So in this next part of the talk, I'll describe our evaluation of Layercake. We implemented a number of case study applications on top of Layercake, and we did that to explore and demonstrate some of the functionality that Layercake enables, but that isn't possible to achieve securely on stock Android. So again, there are more implementation details and a deeper security analysis of each of these case studies in the paper, but I'll just give you an overview now to give you an idea of the types of things that we considered. So first, of course, we considered advertising. I've used the example a lot throughout the talk, and other researchers have considered it as well. With Layercake, we can really separate out the embedded ad into its own application and simply visually embed it in the parent activity. And that way, we can prevent some of the attacks between a potentially malicious ad library or a potentially malicious parent application. We also considered embedded social widgets, like the Facebook Like button or a Facebook Comments widget. And these are really prevalent on the web, but they're not officially supported on Android. And one of the reasons for that might be that you simply can't achieve them securely on Android. For example, if an activity embeds a like button on stock Android today, they can programmatically click on that like button and like themselves. So with Layercake, we can actually support this type of embedded social widget in a secure way and prevent these types of attacks from a parent application. I mentioned earlier that the web view in Android is not really isolated from the parent application. So we also looked at putting the web view into its own application that's run by the system, and thereby preventing some possible attacks between a malicious parent application and the web page that's displayed in the web view, and also vice versa. If the parent application has exposed some JavaScript APIs to the web page, a malicious web page is limited in what it can do to the parent application. I said that I would come back to this special location gadget. So here we're building on previous work on user-driven access control. The idea there is that the system tries to extract a user's intent to grant a permission like location from the user's natural interaction with the system. And so here with the secure embedded UI properties provided by Layercake, we can run this location gadget in a system process, and it can then ensure that the parent application receives location permission only if the user has genuinely clicked on this location button. We can apply that same type of idea to the top-level redirection problem that I mentioned. So in particular, we can ensure that if the user has genuinely interacted with an embedded activity, we can allow that embedded activity to start a new top-level activity without needing to further prompt the user for permission. I'll mention briefly that applications don't need to be modified to be embedded in Layercake. So here's an example of a Layercake application that embeds the Pandora and Amazon applications, which are unmodified. And finally, a couple of performance numbers. So first, we evaluated the performance impact of our changes to Android by measuring the time it takes to start an activity. So the time it takes from launching the activity until the last embedded activity is loaded or is started. So you can see that embedded applications with embedded activities take longer to fully start. And the reason for this is that the parent application's layout needs to be created and resolved before the system knows which embedded activities it needs to start. I will note that the load time of the parent activity is unaffected by the presence of embedded content. So for example, in the Facebook demo case, the parent activity takes 160 milliseconds to start, whether or not there are any Facebook widgets that are further embedded. We also measured input event dispatch time. So this is the time it takes to dispatch a touch event to an application. And specifically, we evaluated the impact of including the window manager in the input dispatch process. So when we have multiple activities and multiple windows in focus, if the user is switching between those windows, the window manager needs to securely switch that focus based on the user's actions. So involving the window manager in dispatch turned out not to have a significant performance impact over stock Android, especially in the presumably more common case where the user isn't switching focus between multiple embedded windows. Okay, so finally, I'd like to summarize our contributions and leave you with some of the lessons that we learned for secure embedded user interfaces. So I've presented Layercake, which is an artifact resulting from our systematic application of secure embedded UI concepts that we also explored in prior work. And we've made the source code to Layercake in many of our demo applications available online at layercake.cs.washington.edu if you're interested in checking that out. I've mentioned some lessons that we learned in the process of our design and implementation. One is that the UI trees of the parent and the child activity need to be separated. And in particular, we can achieve the same visual effect by overlaying the two distinct UI trees as if we literally merged them together. I also mentioned that size manipulation, scroll misplacement, and window obstruction need to be considered together, like in the case of clickjacking. And I've mentioned the problem of ancestor redirection, where we can apply some sort of user intent determination to allow an embedded activity to start a new top-level activity in a frictionless way. So in summary, I've talked about embedded third-party user interfaces and some of the security concerns that they pose, particularly on Android, where many of these issues are unaddressed today. And I've described Layercake, which is our modified version of Android that does securely support cross-application UI embedding. I have a couple of phones with me that are running Layercake, so if you're interested in seeing a demo, please feel free to see me in person. And I'd also be happy to take any questions now. Thank you.
Do you have any questions, folks, if you just want to come up to the mic? And just do me a favor and identify yourself so that everyone knows you
are. Will Enk, NC State. Great work. I was curious if you thought about handling software dependencies. I have to have an ad application installed in order to, have you thought about that at all?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So basically the issue is if you have an application that embeds activities from other applications, how do you handle the dependency issue? So does the, I mean, there's a couple of options. I don't really know which one is best, and we didn't try to address that here. But you could either have the Android store install those dependencies on behalf of the user. You could ask the user to install those dependencies. It gets a little bit tricky with ad libraries, for example. If users don't want ads, they might uninstall the ad applications. So those are definitely important issues. I don't really know what the right answer is there.
So there's a third option. I believe the way that the Chrome browser works, it starts processes as a nobody user.
Mm-hmm.
You could still have that library inside of the code and then start that process as an unprivileged process and then embed that within your window. As long there's no data that's being written to the file system for like an ad, that would work really well.
Interesting. Thanks.
Hi, Paul Pierce, UC Berkeley. Very nice work. I'm curious, have you had any interactions with Google about pushing any of these changes in Android, or do you have any plans to try to push anything upstream?
That's a good question. I haven't talked to Google, but I would love to. So.
All right, let's thank our speaker one more time.